Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 293rd ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel and recording from the MSP studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing great, Cameron. I was doing a little bit of reflecting this week.
Oh.
And, you know, I was thinking about how I've, you know, just been falling short a little bit.
Really?
And, you know, we've been doing this podcast for nearly 300 episodes.
That's true.
And you ask me the same question every time.
Yeah.
And I'm never prepared for it.
Well, okay.
You ask me how I'm doing every week. And I don't know until you ask me. I usually say, like, I'm great. I say that every time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, usually should probably tell you why. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I think of something.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I don't. And so I was, you know, we're getting ready to record for the almost 300th time. I said, give me a second. I got to think of why I'm great.
Yeah.
And then you said, don't worry, I got something. So go ahead.
I do have something. It's not why I'm great. I don't have anything why I'm great. You've been watching golf lately?
Yeah, actually for the first time ever, I watched the Masters.
Now, the three of us have golfed before.
Yeah. Yeah, we're terrible.
Kyle has?
Kyle's golfed with us.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. It made me feel better. Because usually I would just lose to you by like 5 or 6 strokes.
That's generous, but okay.
And we're just talking about walking par 3 course here in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We
don't take the driver out ever.
No.
Never.
Anyway. Yeah, we've golfed before, but you'd never really watched golf much?
Not a lot, no.
Not even back to Tiger Woods days?
No, I was probably like 4th grade. In his like peak.
True. That is true. He's had a couple different peaks and obviously valleys, but...
Won the 2019 Masters.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now, you watched the Masters recently because you had some skin in the game.
Yeah.
And that always makes it easier to have some rooting interest.
Sure.
So then that got us invested. And then, next thing you know... There's an EA Sports PGA Tour video game on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
So we've been playing some of that. But now, so then I got down this golf rabbit hole. And now, next thing I know, I'm watching Tiger Woods highlights.
Mm.
And that is some of the best stuff ever. So fun.
Yeah. What was it like? The 16th hole in the Masters, whenever the ball is like hanging over the rim of the of the hole and it like falls in.
Yes. They're all blending together for me right now because I've watched so many highlights over the last like 3 days. And there's full YouTube videos or like full documentaries on YouTube about specific tournaments that he won and lots of other tournaments probably. But I'm going to send them to you guys. And just fantastic stuff. I think it was like the 2000 US Open. Where he like set the record for most strokes under par at a major, biggest winning margin of victory in a major.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was on top of the world there for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I watched a few of those videos. Just fantastic stuff. And it really makes me like, he's still golfing. Like he was he made the cut at the Masters.
Yes, he did.
And I feel like it's just given me a new context for him still being active, where I'm like...
It's like that LeBron-esque, like exactly. The longevity at the level that it's at is...
Yes.
LeBron is the oldest player in the NBA,
yes,
by the way.
And
he's still incredible.
Yes.
Looks like he could play for 5 more years easy.
He's just like... LeBron's like downshifting into this like triple-double every night threat, where he's like getting... 10 assists per game.
Yeah. Got to cherish those legacy athletes.
Yeah, but now it's making me wish, like, if Tiger is, like, in contention in any tournament, but, like, a major, that's going to be electric. And it's also just crazy seeing how the golf world reacts to him being good versus, I mean, he transcends the sport. Yeah. What can you say?
One more quick note about the Masters. Did you see the last day, how they pair him off into... Like Tiger Woods got paired with like the amateur winner or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like this random guy who was just like, I'm just here because I won this random amateur yeah. tournament. And so those two were
that's the, incredible.
Yeah. yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Anyway, we have actual stuff to talk about. Mizzou related things, not just golf. Before we get to that, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, leave us a review wherever you listen to us, and you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MissouriSportsPod. That was incredible. You got me. Just kicking that back to me after that setup. That was really good.
Thanks. I made it up on the spot like I always do.
First topic. Let's talk about that new athletic director. They did it, folks. They hired an athletic director, and yep. it's a gentleman that everybody had on their short list within 5 minutes of the vacancy opening up.
Yeah. Yep.
You want to tell us?
Yeah. Mr. Laird Veach is going to be the new athletic director at Mizzou. He's got a five-year deal for like $1.3 million per year guaranteed with a lot of incentives that I won't read because it's a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like this makes a lot of sense. He's got some ties to Mizzou in his past. We talked about him on our kind of like AD search episode, what was probably like 2 or 3 months ago at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, not that that was like uncommon. I think everybody had him on their list. But yeah, I think he did some good things at Memphis while he was there. They just recently made a $200 million renovation to their football stadium.
Okay.
That's something that Missouri can relate to. So yeah.
He was going to oversee something like that anyway, so mm-hmm. now he knows what to expect.
For sure. He also oversaw renovations at Memphis to their indoor football facility, their tennis center, and they made improvements to their baseball, softball, soccer, and track and field facilities as well. So,
well, we're not doing that.
Not doing that here. The board of curators said only football, please.
Yeah.
He was one of the first. Memphis is one of the first 10 schools to hire an NIL director. So it mm-hmm. sounds like they've been very much on the forefront of NIL, and Missouri has too. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I saw that. He just put together an NIL partnership with FedEx. Obviously, FedEx is huge in Memphis. That's where they're headquartered. But FedEx is doing like a $25 million NIL deal over 5 years. So they're, you know, committing $5 million a year in contracts for NIL opportunities for their athletes.
Yeah.
Pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. He just recently, this past year, he hired head football coach Ryan Silverfield, who went 8-3 in year one. Obviously, Missouri played Memphis, and they gave us a good game, and they had a really good season.
And he just signed off on that game getting moved to St. Louis.
Yes, so, he did.
You know, just doing,
yeah,
helping us out there.
Exactly.
I did think it was interesting. I saw he. Former Kansas State football captain. I saw a video of him sacking a Mizzou quarterback.
Wow.
So maybe, you know, that could be his dream school, wanting to go home, but I'm pretty sure they hired an athletic director since he's been, maybe even since he was at Memphis. Don't quote me on that. But I think they have pretty solidly passed him over once. Mm. So maybe that's enough to not worry about that too much. I also saw a video of current Mizzou baseball coach, former Memphis baseball coach, Kerrick Jackson, talking about their time together at Memphis. And according to Coach Jackson, they had a conversation about Coach Jackson saying, the only job I would leave for is Mizzou. And then Laird Veach said, me too. Basically.
Now look at us.
Yeah. Now here they are.
Yeah.
Kyle, can you think of anybody else named Laird? Or the name Laird, does it ring a bell at all?
No, not at all.
How about Gerald Laird?
Never heard of him.
Okay. He was like a catcher for the Cardinals for like one season.
Last name?
Last name Laird.
Okay. Yes. Never heard of him.
That's the only other Laird I could come up with.
Mm, I should have been able to recall that.
Gerald Laird. Yeah.
Hmm.
Leave us a like if you've heard of Gerald Laird. Yeah, so he's been the Memphis AD since 2019 and was previously in the Mizzou Athletic Department from 1997 to 2002 and in fundraising mostly at that time. So perfect. And just another one of these guys that worked under Alden forever ago that are moving up through the ranks of athletic director, and they're just all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a pretty solid hire. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you if it's a good or bad hire. I think he's got good experience. He has Mizzou ties, like you just said. Seems like he's well-liked. He's worked in some similar projects.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm happy with it.
Welcome in. Yeah, so tell us what you think. New AD. It doesn't feel like anything that anybody could possibly have too strong of an opinion on.
Yeah.
But if you do, we'd love to hear it. Moving on to basketball news, big news this week, maybe the biggest offseason news in a while, Caleb Brown enters the transfer portal. Your thoughts?
I think I wondered what would happen with Caleb Brown because obviously Kobe Brown is kind of a Mizzou legend,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that they would like want to push him out, but at the same time, he was never going to make a difference either. So it was kind of like, what do we do here? It doesn't really matter who made this decision ultimately, but I hope he is able to go play somewhere. And I think he's got kind of a unique skill set that could be useful, but probably not at the SEC level.
Yeah, obviously I'm joking about that being the biggest news of the week, but not to disparage Caleb Brown too much. I mean, he has a very interesting skill set that I wanted to see how that could translate to Mizzou basketball with his size and playmaking ability, making plays for others as a distributor. But it just wasn't happening.
Most improved player every year.
That's true.
He has that to
hear that every offseason. But he still has multiple years of eligibility. So depending on medical redshirt, I think he had at one point. So it'd be interesting to follow where he goes and where he ends up. But I was joking a little bit because the biggest news of the week is Mark Mitchell, former Duke Blue Devil in the transfer portal, picks Mizzou, former five-star McDonald's All-American. Mizzou is a finalist with Duke, with him out of high school. But he picked Duke, but second time around, picks Mizzou. He's listed at 6'9", 232, and played two seasons at Duke. As a true freshman, he averaged 27 minutes per game in 35 games, averaged 9 points, 4.5 rebounds per game, shot 47% from the field, including 35% from three. As a sophomore, he averaged just under 29 points per game, or sorry, minutes per game, 29 points per game.
That would be incredible. Yeah.
Just under 29 minutes per game in 33 games, 11.6 points, 6 rebounds per game, increased his field goal shooting percentage considerably to 54%, but the three-point shooting percentage dropped to 28%.
Hmm. Yeah, we talked about Mark Mitchell last week a little bit. We talked about, how the difference I think that he can make for Missouri. Being an effective post player that we really haven't had consistently, post presence, and he can step out and shoot the three some. He doesn't have the most beautiful shot in the world, but it does go in sometimes. But I do think, he built on his freshman year really well in his second year.
Yeah.
And I think that he's obviously has an opportunity to play a lot more minutes at Missouri, a lot more usage, and I think he will put up really good numbers, probably better than he had last year, if he plays 30 plus minutes a game.
Yeah, I was looking back through at some of his game logs, and last year he had two different 20 and 10 double doubles, 23 and 14 at Notre Dame, 20 and 12 at Louisville. So in conference play against not that great of teams last year, but definitely putting up the numbers. And he's really good on the offensive glass and really, really good at getting to the free throw line, but only shoots 62% from the line. I'm imagining, like, I can picture in my head Tony Perkins to Mark Mitchell. I feel like that'll be a connection.
Yeah.
He's his film, when you watch Duke highlights, it's him just taking dump offs in the lane and dunking them and getting offensive rebound putbacks, occasionally stepping out, but man, he's going to have to rework that shot, I think.
I agree.
Basically exclusively played the four spot in his two seasons at Duke, and started all but one game that he appeared in his two seasons. I think obviously Missouri's still after a guy to lock down the five spot in the transfer portal, and we got 2 7-footers coming in the freshman class. We'll talk about some more transfer options potentially, but I think I'd be okay with him playing some at the five. I was looking back at who Missouri has put out there as post players that you would call the five spot. This year, we had some 7-footers, and they couldn't rebound, couldn't provide a lot. We were talking about Vanover and freshman Jordan Butler, who was just a little bit in over his head. But I'm looking back at last season, and you basically had Kobe Brown playing the five, and then you bring in Mohamed Diarra, who's listed at 6'10", 215. Mark Mitchell, 6'9", 232. The year before that, you have just Kobe and Trevin Brazil, 6'9", 215. So, I mean, then you have Jeremiah Tillman, who is like the prototypical 6'10", 250, five man at the college level. But I don't see any reason why. It may not be the most ideal situation, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't play Mark Mitchell at the five some.
I agree. Yeah. I think he can run pretty well. Maybe a little bit smaller lineup. I think he's big enough, absolutely, to hold his own as the five.
I say you play him at the five this year. Limit his outside shooting. Redo his jumper in secret. Behind the scenes, yeah. He's getting up shots in practice. Then his senior year, you unleash SEC Player of the Year, Mark Mitchell, with new and improved jump shooting, the Kobe Brown jump from junior to senior season. After banging around at the five spot, then he's just this all-around monster his senior year.
Love it.
That can happen.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Jordan Butler.
Yes.
He's at South Carolina now.
He transferred to South Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah. Super nice landing spot for him. I mean, it's back home.
Yeah.
Transferred back home, but I guess it was going to surprise me. Any player from this past season, Mizzou basketball, that transferred, it was going to surprise me if they ended up at like a team that was in the NCAA tournament or flirted with it at all.
I agree.
So good for him.
Yeah.
So play Mark Mitchell at the five, but maybe not because, we talked about last week, how he would pair nicely with Javon Porter at the five spot. Porter is following former head coach Lorenzo Romar to Loyola Marymount. Where is that? Anybody know?
Maryland.
Is it?
I don't know. Research department.
That would be wild going from Pepperdine in Malibu, California.
It is located in Los Angeles, California.
That makes a lot more sense.
You know what? I was wrong about that, and I apologize.
There is.
You were thinking of Loyola, Maryland.
Yes, which is also
a separate thing.
Yep.
Separate thing. Absolutely. That makes sense.
They sound almost identical.
Yeah, they do.
I know where Loyola, Chicago is. That one's easy to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Not traveling too far, staying right there in California. Makes sense.
Did we talk about Jontay Porter last week?
Oh, yeah.
Banned from the NBA?
Yeah, okay. Perma banned.
That's right.
That's all? It. Okay.
Yep.
Just making sure we had that.
I want to get that out there.
All right. So we got Mark Mitchell. Mizzou still trying to get a transfer big. They have reached out to a few people I'll mention here. University of Texas San Antonio transfer Carlton Lingard, 7 foot, 225, averaged 9.6 rebounds, started his career at K-State, transferred back home to San Antonio in the transfer portal. Mizzou has made contact. UC Irvine transfer Brent Luton, something like that. 7'1", 265, averaged 9 points, 4.5 rebounds, originally from Germany. He's in the portal. USF, okay. Now it gets interesting, in my opinion. We got USF transfer Kayshawn Pryor. Shout out to the YouTube commenter who mentioned him last week. But now, since then, it has become official that Mizzou has made contact. Kayshawn Pryor, 6'10", 210, averaged 13 points, 8 rebounds, shot 35% from three at USF, originally from Chicago, Illinois. Got that Chicago connection with Dennis Gates. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that, again, fits right into that mold of like the stretch 5-4 that you play alongside a more post-oriented Mark Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be chef's kiss, perfect combination there, I think. Then the last guy is former Link Academy player down here in Branson and former Ohio State forward Felix Okpara. He's in the transfer portal, 6'11", 235, averaged 6.6 points, 6.4 rebounds per game, shot 58% from the field as a sophomore at Ohio State. The three other guys I mentioned only have 1 year of eligibility left. Okpara has two. And I've been on this guy for a while. As soon as Chris Holtman was fired at Ohio State, I was looking at their roster, hoping that he would enter the transfer portal. I was hoping that Dennis Gates would tamper.
Yes, you were calling for tampering.
Yes. And so far, he's the one of these four that there's not been reported contact yet. I feel like if you're after a transfer big, you got to reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is visiting Tennessee coming up.
So, you know, we just got Mark Mitchell. Yes. We missed on Porter.
Yes.
We do have Marshall.
True. And Trent Burns.
Trent Burns. But it still feels like we've got to add somebody, an experienced big who is like a traditional big, or at least tall enough to be one. Like, you know, at 6'10 plus.
Yeah.
Now, Jaden.
Quaintance
is out there.
Yes.
Do you think Missouri's got a shot?
I do think Missouri has a shot. Jaden Quaintance, if you don't remember, Missouri was in on him out of high school. He committed to Kentucky with John Calipari, reopened his recruitment when Coach Cal took the Arkansas job, and Mr. Tyson Chicken said he will not be outbid for any high school senior that Coach Calipari wants. And then like 3 days later, Jaden Quaintance is no longer interested in Arkansas. He's visiting Memphis.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He said he was not interested in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Visited Memphis. I think Louisville's out there.
Memphis got that FedEx money now.
That's true. He was offered all the chicken in the world.
True.
Turned it down.
Yeah.
I respect it. And I hope he comes to Mizzou.
He can't be bought.
Can't be bought.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
We'll see what Louisville can put together. yeah, the chicken wasn't good enough. Maybe FedEx. He doesn't want to advertise for FedEx.
I absolutely love it that he was like going to play for Calipari at Kentucky, but not going to play for Calipari at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, what's the common denominator here? Just lots of chicken?
Yeah.
Hog calling?
I would be devastated if like, that's like the dream is like you get a coach in the coaching carousel that has guys already committed to
and
him.
And you get the bump.
And then you get the bump and you bring your guys over. No. Not happening for Arkansas.
Talk to the team.
There is no team. Will there be a team? We don't know. I do feel like Louisville is the team to beat potentially, but I don't.
Who's
think
their
Missouri's
coach now.
I don't know his name. I just know he was really surprised at how big his office was. Did you see that video?
No.
He thought he was in some kind of like athletic department common area that was like very fancy looking, but it was actually his office.
Well, now we got to look it up.
Yeah. and he was blown away. It was just such a cute little moment that they put out on social media.
That's precious.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that neither one of us know this, actually.
Louisville. I know I only have in my head the Dusty May went to Michigan.
Does the name Pat Kelsey mean anything to you?
No. That's why I don't remember. Does he have glasses?
I have no idea who that is. Don't worry about it.
They're going to... Yes. Okay, yeah, that's him. Pat Kelsey, Mr. Glasses. If they play Mark Mitchell at the five and just go small ball, let's run and gun. We got other guys in the transfer portal that play well in transition. I think they can make it work and then shift gears to a more traditional big, slide Mark Mitchell to the four, or, you know, just have a bigger lineup altogether when he's not on the floor. I think they can make it work. I'm scared of this, like, we're just going to collect 7-footers and try them all for like 12 minutes a game that we did last year. I don't like that too much.
I don't like anything from last year.
True. That's all I have basketball related. Moving on to football. The news of the week in football. Just before we started recording, Jack Lange, 4-star out of Eureka, Missouri, offensive lineman, committed to Mizzou.
Yeah.
We talked about him last week. We're going to rehash a lot of names that we talked about last week, but it's because they're all coming to Mizzou.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Jack Lange just made it official. Kind of a hilarious moment. Like, I felt bad for him, but it's not going to take long for this to be funny for him as well. But he kind of like ruined his own announcement by name dropping Coach Drink in what was going into his decision before he said he was committing to Mizzou.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a pretty done deal when he, obviously we got a crystal ball from Steve Wiltfong. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was one of the guys that we talked about last week that we didn't really know.
Yeah.
We didn't really feel great about Missouri's chances.
It was going to be a battle.
Thought it was going to be a battle with Notre Dame specifically. Yeah. And then within a few days, it was like, okay, the sentiment has already changed, and he's announcing next week, and it feels like Mizzou's got a real shot.
Notre Dame dropped off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Don't know what that's about exactly. But yeah, so it ended up that he picked Mizzou technically over Nebraska and Michigan, mostly, even though the sentiment was definitely Notre Dame a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But just incredible get for Drinkwitz, and for him to, again, just seemingly lock down a recruitment, just shut it down. It's still April, and this is arguably the number one player in the state of Missouri, and he just shut the recruitment down, said, it's over, we got him.
We pray for times like these.
Yes. Yes, they're here. But that's not the only commitment, far from it. Another guy that committed to Mizzou, 4-star linebacker Dante McClellan, commits to Mizzou over Michigan State, Kentucky, and Louisville. Listed at 6'2", 200 from Canton, Ohio. He's already a Hall of Famer.
Have you ever been to Canton, Ohio?
No.
I went there.
Yeah?
I went to the NFL Hall of Fame.
Incredible.
Pretty cool, I recommend.
Okay.
And then we went to this crappy little burger joint, and then we were on our way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Kyle, a 4-star linebacker that's listed at 6'2", 200. His film has him playing all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not super great at projecting these guys out, but feels like maybe a hybrid safety linebacker situation potentially with just his athleticism, at least against good competition in high school.
Yeah, I definitely think he could play the Dalen Carnell role if they want to use him that way. And also, he could just be a really a speed outside linebacker who's good in coverage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think he can really do either one of those roles that they feel he's best suited for.
And they kept the 4-star commitments rolling with 4-star defensive lineman Jason Dowell, committed to Mizzou over Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, listed at 6'4", 285. We talked a little bit about him last week, but, yeah, I mean, 6'4", 285 out of high school. Just insane.
Yeah.
And this is just what we do now. This is just what Drink does.
Let's get used to it.
Just goes and gets guys that are ready to play SEC football.
Yeah. Out of the couple of guys we're going to talk about today, that this might be the one I'm most excited about. He's just a hoss. And I don't know. Like, somehow I feel like I can even tell, like, in his film, he just has the, like, intangibles, like the competitiveness, like, I'm better than you attitude that I think will help him get on the field. Like, we already know he's got the size, the speed, but does he have the attitude to compete? I think he does. I think he's going to be really good.
And then last high school commit of the week, 3-star edge rusher Joshua Lewis commits to Mizzou. Tulane was the only other school listed as, like, in the running, basically. Mm-hmm. So he is from Louisiana, listed at 6'4", 245. So again, just SEC size.
I believe you mentioned him last week as a guy that Missouri could just kind of shut this down whenever they wanted to.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yep. Done deal. Actually, I was looking back at my notes from last week, and McClellan, Lewis, and Dowell, all three, I had, like, stars next to their name. Like, feels like Mizzou is the favorite, and it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And it was very little time.
Yeah. Good timing, even.
Yeah. So I honestly, even with, like, the crystal balls, or I don't even know if anything was that official, but, like, the sentiment being positive for Mizzou, I know, like, they hadn't, it's kind of, like, weird. Missouri hadn't had any commits until Zollers.
Yeah.
And now it's just the floodgates have opened.
And, I mean, we said that after Zollers committed was, like, that's, I mean, most important player on the field, most important player in the recruiting class, because that signals confidence in the class. And we have seen that pay dividends immediately.
Yeah. And this probably sounds like a broken record at this point, but I've never seen, and you know better than me, like, you've followed football recruiting so closely over the years, for it to be going so according to plan is just, like, so perfectly according to plan so far.
Yeah.
Is, like, freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are just the high school guys too. We also landed Marcus Bryant, a transfer offensive tackle from SMU, and he's 6'8", 325.
Massive.
That's large, I might say.
First team all AAC.
Yep.
Last year.
Yeah, he's got 1 year of eligibility, and we'll probably just immediately slot in as, I don't know if he's going to play right or left tackle, but so I'm not sure exactly what that means for the offensive line.
Yeah, it means, I'll tell you what it means, Kyle. It means competitive depth.
I love that.
Is what it means.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, just in the transfer portal, in the high school class, we're just going out, getting exactly who we want, that fit what we need. And, man, it's exciting.
Bryant was the number one offensive tackle in the portal?
Yes.
Yeah.
At least according to On3, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now, I think Caden Green and Armand Mimbu were slated to play tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming Caden Green maybe moves back in inside. I think that's where he played guard last year. I'm relatively certain. Mm. Either one of those guys are capable of playing any position, I think. So I think they'll be all right.
Yeah. And, you know, with Reichert just being a sophomore, it's totally fine to, if he gets bumped for a little bit less playing time, he'll still have all the time in the world to make his impact. And I think he'll still contribute next year.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty. So just a monster day or monster week for, and single day, two offensive line commits. But just a crazy week for Mizzou football recruiting, and maybe we'll get a little bit of a break before it spins back up, but maybe offensive commits coming soon. Actually, you were saying Matt Zollers, like, was interviewed about Jack Lane's commitment? Okay.
Yes. I bookmarked a tweet that I'm currently looking up. This was from at C McAndrew95 on Twitter. He says, Mizzou quarterback commit Matt Zollers joined the On3 broadcast for Jack Lange's commitment and rattled off a few players he'd like to see follow them to Columbia.
Okay.
Those players were wide receiver Javon Boggs.
Done deal.
Wide receiver Corey Sims.
Done deal.
Wide receiver Donovan Alugbo. Good
try. We know who you're talking about. Don't even worry about it.
Do you want to step in? Okay.
But that not quite a done deal.
Okay.
I say. My projection.
Tight end Andrew Olesh. That's the tight end from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Not a done deal.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah. Work your magic, Matt.
Yeah. Tight end Chase Lofton and running back Jamarian Merrow.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. I don't know if Missouri gets all those guys, but Matt Zollers he's working. He's working hard.
Yeah. We'll manifest it with you, Matt. And, but the first two wide receivers that he mentioned, yeah, I think.
I agree.
Let's shut it down.
I think so.
Let's
Corey Sims for sure.
Let's let them spark the next round of commitments. Let's see. I do have a little bit more football recruiting stuff before we get to the NFL draft, which starts tomorrow. One thing that we neglected to mention in previous episodes, now it's been a little bit since it happened, but Austin Firestone announced his retirement from football. I didn't know of any like medical stuff going on with him, but obviously with the defensive line depth and, you know, he didn't play a ton last year, but, you know, made some plays. So good luck to him in football retirement. Be interesting to see what career path he chooses. You got any thoughts on Austin Firestone's retirement?
Wishing the best. That's it.
Do they give you a Rolex when you retire from football?
Yeah, I think so.
Some new names as far as high school recruits to look for. Another name that I'm going to probably mess up. Four-star defensive lineman. It's spelled I-O-S-E. Epinesa is his last name. Now, we're familiar with the last name.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a legacy there. Not at Mizzou, but right. He did include Mizzou in a top 10.
Yeah. His brother, AJ Epinesa, went to Iowa, and he now plays for the Buffalo Bills, and he's very good.
Yeah.
And he went to Iowa, most likely, because their father also went to Iowa and was good there. So,
and if, believe it or not, Iowa also in the top 10.
There you go. Yeah. Might be a lock, but that never know.
Uphill battle, we'll call
it. We'll say that.
Yeah. Another four-star offensive lineman. The only reason I know this guy is because a tweet came across my timeline. Adam Guthrie, four-star offensive lineman from Washington Courthouse, Ohio. He lives in the courthouse.
Sounds like a very official place.
Yeah.
What do they do there?
Make good offensive linemen.
Okay.
He's a number 10 offensive lineman in the country, according to On3, listed at 6'7", 285. He just tweeted the zoo with a little tiger head emoji.
Seems good.
He's also been, it seems like looking at the recruiting services and stuff, it's a wide open recruitment. He's being recruited by West Virginia, Tennessee, Penn State, and NC State. But again, like I said, top 10 offensive lineman in the country. I don't know if that means he's just interested, taking a visit. I don't know.
He's getting love.
Yeah. I saw the tweet. They sent him a scholarship offer, probably. That's it for football recruiting. It's going well, and it will continue. Now moving on to the NFL draft. Take it away.
Yeah. Today is Wednesday, April 24th.
Yes.
So by the time you're hearing this, the first round might be going or it might be over. But we're going to talk about Missouri's or former Missouri players in the draft this year and who might get drafted.
You're repping the big man himself.
I'm repping a Darius Robinson shirt.
Yeah.
And
beautiful
it's
shirt.
It's a cool shirt. And I'm excited to be wearing it.
As a throwback to like early to mid 2000s sports shirts,
yeah.
I feel like. Get a good look for the
YouTube. Producer Cameron, you said it looked like those old like NASCAR shirts with just like a little bit too much going on, but they still look cool.
Yeah. Not too much, I say.
Okay.
Just the right amount.
Just the right amount going on.
You would know.
I think I've seen a Brady Cook NIL shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Similar styling.
Well, I'll go buy it. Okay, so let's talk about Darius Robinson. I think he's going to be the first Missouri player drafted. Very productive senior season. Mm. Has shown versatility over his career to be able to play inside and outside. We were worried about him preseason, which seems very silly, but we were worried about him moving to the outside because we hadn't seen him do it, and we knew how good he is on the interior. But he said, don't worry, guys, I got it taken care of, and he did. So extremely productive season, tested well, and the teams love him because he just is a competitor, like ultra competitor, and a great leader. And he's a little bit old for a prospect, for a first round draft pick, but I think he could go at the end of the first round. And if I could even get really specific, I think he could go to the Lions at like 27th or 28th. They're somewhere at the end of the first. I think that is a match made in heaven with those two personalities. I think just fit perfectly.
Dan Campbell, you're talking about.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And just the entire like mantra of the Detroit Lions. It's
I read maybe that he actually grew up a fan of the Lions.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well.
So even better. Yeah.
Even better.
If he goes in the first round, he would be the first, well, you may have seen this recently, but he would be the first Mizzou first rounder since who? Definitely put you on the spot here.
Oh, boy.
Who was the last Mizzou Tiger drafted in the first round of the NFL draft?
Charles Harris.
Ding, 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 ding.
That would have been...
The crowd goes wild for that.
That would have been what, like 2018?
2017, yeah. Charles Harris.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
And this is no guarantee whatsoever, but I think it could happen.
He was invited to the draft.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
I didn't even hear that. Wow.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that would be really exciting if he went in the first round. I'd be really happy for him.
I'll project it.
Okay, let's project it. Yeah. Lock it in.
Yeah.
The second Missouri Tiger that I think will go off the board and potentially the first is Ennis Rakestraw. And he's a little bit tough to rate as a prospect because he was injured a lot in his Missouri career. Mm-hmm. But he was really, really productive when he was healthy and just really played through injury a lot, even when he was out there. So I think that the NFL is seeing that as a little bit of a red flag. I don't even think he tested at the combine, did he, because he was hurt?
Right.
So I've seen some mocks where he's gone at the end of the first round. There's some quarterback needy teams at the end of the first, like Tampa Bay might be a team around like the 25th pick, I think. But I would if I had to make my best guess, I think I'd say he goes in the second round, which I still think is very solid.
Yes. Sounds right to me.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Chris Abrams-Drain. Obviously, great ball skills. Came in as a wide receiver and switched to cornerback, which is honestly insane to think about.
Yeah.
How good he is, knowing that he came in to play a different position. So he's always been great with ball skills. He's athletic, tested well. I think his biggest red flag is his size. I think he's just a little bit undersized. And I would predict probably round 3 to 4 for Chris Abrams-Drain.
Let's go first round, second round, third round.
Let's do it.
Just do it in order. I like that.
Let's get somebody every round. I actually think that literally could happen.
How crazy that was Mizzou's starting cornerbacks were.
Yeah.
Ennis Rakestraw and Chris Abrams-Drain.
Two NFL players, for sure. Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, we played like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And just made, just like these first three guys that we talked about, they made each other's jobs easier, you know, directly. Like Darius Robinson getting pressure on the quarterback allowed the secondary to play, you know, just take more risks and try to make big plays.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
For sure.
Them locking guys down bought time for the defensive line to get home. And it's just going to be interesting to see who, you know, looking at Mizzou for next year, like what kind of production we get from those spots. Like the names are there, the recruits are there, the transfers are there. So it'll be fun to see it all come together again.
Yeah. Yeah, the hopefully the Darius Robinson leadership and like competitiveness like rubs off on everybody else. Yeah. Like hopefully he left that behind with him a little bit.
Yeah.
At Mizzou, because those are some intangibles that are tough to replace.
Embodied the brotherhood.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, another quick thing on Darius Robinson that I forgot to say was I just think like this is a good year to be a defensive end in the draft because I normally that's like a pretty premium position that I think gets pushed up in the first round because a good defensive end is just really, really valuable to NFL GMs. So, and I really don't feel like there's a lot of defensive ends that will go in the first round this year comparatively. There's a lot of offensive linemen. There's a lot of wide receivers this year. So being a standout defensive end could do some favors for him.
And you're not really ever drafting projects in the first round, but I do feel like teams are going to see Darius Robinson as a guy they can just plug in and go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, let's talk about Javon Foster. He had a really solid Missouri career. He was really durable, was really reliable. Mm-hmm. I feel like he played pretty much every snap of like both, or like every season he played at Missouri.
Yeah.
Never left the game. I think he's probably best in pass protection, probably a little bit better in pass pro than run blocking. Maybe needs to clean up footwork just a little bit, but still like really good size and strength. Obviously great production at the SEC level, at the highest level. I could probably see him going rounds like 4 or 5.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Exactly.
Wow.
Just kind of depending on team need. And I mean, what I said about Darius Robinson and the positional aspect may actually come back to hurt Foster a little bit.
See.
Because I do think there's a lot of good offensive tackles in this draft. But we'll just have to see.
He'll stick around. He'll stick around in the NFL.
I think so. Okay, I'm going to skip over a name and come back to it if we're trying to do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 thing.
Okay, who's going in the fifth round?
I'm going to say Tyron Hopper goes in the fifth round.
Okay.
Great production at Mizzou. Yeah, great physical traits. He's a hard hitter. He's like a heat-seeking missile. Cleaned up a lot of stuff in the run game. Was kind of just everywhere.
Great athleticism.
Yeah. Probably biggest red flag for him is he's not like elite physical traits, but he's solid and kind of struggled in coverage sometimes. Wasn't the greatest in coverage, but in the NFL,
that's why he's going to the fifth round.
There's specialists, yeah, where like he may not have to do a lot of it. He can maybe be an early down linebacker and stuff like that. And you know, this feels like an insult to say like a special teams player, but I still think that's a role that NFL teams are looking for.
Yeah.
That I think he could be really good at. I am predicting round 5.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay, round 6. Jalen Carlisle. In which these could be flipped 5 and 6, maybe 2, or even the same round, but somewhere in the 5 to 6 range. Jalen Carlisle, again, really solid Mizzou player, kind of like silent assassin a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where he would just, I don't know, you'd almost kind of forget about him, and then he'd make a big play.
Yeah.
Great size, really good athleticism, hard hitter, pretty good ball skills. I think probably he has a similar red flag to Tyron Hopper. It's just maybe like coverage is maybe not his strong suit consistently. But I think the teams will fall in love with just his like physical traits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. And my prediction for round 7, Cody Trader.
Let's go.
And we've talked about Cody Trader a lot. Pretty much the best production you could possibly have for a running back, at least in like a single season at the SEC level. And obvious speed size concerns that will push him down in this draft and maybe even lead him to be undrafted. And just also his age, like he's probably like 24 almost at this point.
Right, right. I don't know if this is even close to a comparison, but the running back for the Rams that went to Notre Dame,
Kyren Williams,
he had some of the same red flags, did he not?
Yeah, and he tested horribly. Like, great college production, really good running back at Notre Dame. Was like the worst 40 time you've ever seen in your life, like way worse than Cody Schrader ran.
Wow. Okay.
And still got drafted and is now like a great running back in the NFL.
Yeah, has produced like as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple seasons.
Yeah. There's definitely a place for running backs, even if they don't have elite speed.
Is that like a, I don't know. Is that like a new thing? I don't know. It feels like the skill position, like running backs and wide receivers are getting smaller in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like the big ones that are just athletic freaks, obviously, will always be valuable.
Right.
But it feels like maybe a little bit of shift to a smaller guy. And like you said, more like specific roles where you can kind of draft a guy specifically to not be a workhorse three down back.
Yeah, for sure. Especially at the like skill position. I really think there has been a trend where some of the like traditional weight thresholds like maybe don't stand up as well. Like there's not as many of those like traditional X wide receivers that have come out the last couple of years. Doesn't mean that they wouldn't still want that. That may still be like the most coveted like body style. But yeah, we've seen a lot of like smaller wide receivers the last few years like come out and like be immediately impactful, like Tank Dell or something like that.
The trade-off is usually you're getting elite top-end speed, which we're not getting that trade-off with Cody Schrader. But you're not getting that trade-off with Kyren Williams either.
Right. Yeah, Schrader just has like unbelievable vision and like patience and understands how to use blocks.
Yeah, and setting up blocks and knows the cutback lanes.
Right, which is not something that's going to like necessarily wow GMs, but you know, if he gets a chance to, it might be kind of a slow burn where he has to prove himself over time. But if he gets an opportunity, he might take advantage of it.
Yep. Well, yeah, I'm saying yes, he gets drafted in the seventh round.
Okay.
And it, just thinking about that, Cody Schrader getting drafted or even signing a undrafted free agent deal, because that's worst case scenario that happens, I think.
Oh, for sure.
That's insane.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we would have never dreamed that.
Yeah.
This would be the outcome.
We'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah. He was fresh off like a 2,000-yard season at
Truman State.
Yeah. Wild.
Literally insane. Okay. Last but not least.
Okay.
And I could see this guy maybe slipping into the seventh round.
Uh-huh.
But it's Harrison Meavis. And the only reason I say that he's probably getting undrafted is just because the NFL teams typically don't draft specialists like that. There have been some kickers and punters drafted in recent years, so it's not impossible. But whether or not he gets drafted, he will 100% sign with a team and get a shot.
The Missouri Tigers have a player go in every round of the NFL draft. Heard it here first.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that will happen.
Looking at this list, though, it's like such a just...
Oh, yeah. There's been years where, you know, it's like draft season and we have like nobody to talk about or we even like forget to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, okay, that one player might go in the sixth round.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a fun year some of the time is seeing tweets about guys getting undrafted free agent deals.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, like, yeah.
Wow, I hope, yeah, they have a shot. A
couple Mizzou players might play a professional game.
Might play in the preseason.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Might make the roster to play special teams. But yeah, looking at this list of guys, it's just like they, as a group, and there's some other names that also might get undrafted free agent deals. We'll recap all that next week. Well, how long is the NFL draft?
Yeah, it's over on Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday night.
Gotcha. So, but I mean, thinking about all these guys departing an 11-win season.
A little scary.
And then, but thinking about all the players that we still have that contributed, especially on the offensive side of the ball, like they're, man, we could just have quite a run here of sending guys to the pros.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's probably all for this week. What do you think?
I think that's it.
All right. Everybody go watch your Tiger Woods highlights. And special thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Ryan Demore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker, Daddy JD, Tim Keens, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Garofalo, Brandon Hanks, Matthew Tilley, Louis Hernandez, Joshua Jacobson. Thank you.
Thank you much. Thank you much, very gentlemen. We love you. And you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're on Twitter @MizzouSportsPod. And you can email us at MissouriSportsPod@gmail.com.
You can find our t-shirts and stickers on our online shop, missourisportspod.bigcartel.com.
Thank you much. We will see you next week after the NFL draft.